Now, before we get back to the Frankie Boyer Show, what's the only health show you should be listening to? Let's hear it. The Frankie Boyer Show. One more time. The Frankie Boyer Show. I can't hear you. This is the Frankie Boyer Show.
And welcome back. It is Frankie Boyer. Joining me now is Ellen Moyer. And Ellen Moyer believes saving the planet. Saving the planet starts in the kitchen, because every day our food choices make a difference and have an impact on our overall health and in the environment. And Ellen is an independent environmental consultant, writer, speaker, and she has her BA in anthropology and MS in environmental engineering and a PhD in civil engineering. And we're so thrilled she's with us. Her third book is called Let's Evolve, How to Have Fun Creating a Sustainable World. And boy, Ellen, we need all the help we can get. So welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Frankie. It's great to be with you.
So let's talk about our kitchens. And what do you mean by that? What do you mean by saving the planet begins in the kitchen?
Yeah, well, the way we eat our food is the way we fit in with the web of life. So it's a very basic thing in terms of how we interact with the planet. And our food is actually part of the environment, right? The environment enters us every day when we breathe air, when we drink water, when we touch things, but also when we eat food. So it's a very important thing. And what we choose to buy and eat has a tremendous impact both on our health and on the environment. The good news is that things that are good for our health are good for the environment and vice versa. So if we can make better choices, it's a win-win all around.
Right, and you have some great suggestions for us. And one of them, and I am trying to be less guilty of this, but and I have a system where when I make too much stuff, I have people that I can give it to, and thank goodness I have some friends in my building that love my cooking, so they get the benefits. But we do waste so much every single day. We throw out 40% of the food that we produce. That's just ridiculous.
It's amazing, and I've become much more conscious of it myself, and it's really hard to stop wasting food. But yeah, the average American family throws out $120 per month of groceries. So if we could be a little more systematic and conscious and reduce that, you know, we could spend that money on buying better food like organic or joining a health club or using that money for something else. So what I've tried to do is never shop on an empty stomach.
Right.
And always use a list, you know, a shopping list where I'm planning out my meals and remembering the meals where I'm going to be eating out. That's an easy one to forget, you know. Say you're going to be eating out at a restaurant a couple of times. Well, you need to factor that in. And then I try hard to keep my fridge cleared out and organized so I know what's going on
in
there.
That's a big one. That's a problem. I don't have time for that, and I can tell you I find things like, oh,
yeah.
I couldn't even see it.
Yeah, you find fossils in there. And
yeah, really? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, as far as freezing things, that's a good way to deal with some things is put them in the freezer, but then labeling and dating them so you know what's going on in your freezer, too.
Right.
And then go ahead.
I was going to say, you want us to also buy local as often as we can.
Yeah, that is good because it's usually fresher and more nutritious, you know, when we get it because it hasn't been traveling across the country before it reaches us. And there's also increased food safety with local food. You know, when you buy some meat that's in a grocery store, say it's ground beef, that could be from 100 animals in the burger, you know, you're eating. And those animals could have come from a lot of different places, so there's a chance one of them's carrying salmonella or something really nasty. So when you shop locally, you have less of this mixing of food from different places, and also less transportation and handling, and there's kind of more accountability. You know, if people start getting sick, it's easier to identify what's the source of the problem. So
right.
And it's good for the environment. You're not spending energy to transport the food long distances, so there's less greenhouse gas emissions from that. And also, local farms tend to be smaller and better environmentally for wildlife habitat. And then there's another side benefit of supporting the local economy if you buy from your local farmer. So it's a nice community thing, but it's better for your health and better for the planet.
You also have some concerns about meat, and you want us to eat less red meat, but particularly industrial-produced red meat. And there was just a story on the news about the carcinogenics in these red meats, the bacon, the cold cuts, the highly processed red meats, but red meat in general. So tell us what your concerns are.
Yeah, well, I have concerns both for health and the environment, again, in this area. Conventionally grown meat of all kinds contains pesticide residues from the feed the animals ate, and it could contain GMOs, genetically modified organisms. And often there are antibiotics added, and we have a big problem with antibiotics. We could talk about that too. And also they have added hormones that screw people up. And so it's really a bad scene health-wise. But also, in terms of environmental effects, beef takes the cake as far as the kind of meat that is the most damaging. Beef requires 28 more times more land to produce than pork or chicken, for example. It takes 11 times more water, and it releases 5 times as much greenhouse gas emissions. So there's a big impact from eating meat, but meat of all kinds, but especially beef. And these added unlabeled ingredients in conventional meat really give me the willies. I won't eat it.
I don't blame you. And I think that we are nowhere near labeling in this country at this point, which is so disturbing and very sad for so many of us.
It's amazing. You know, 64 countries require labeling of GMOs, but not the United States. And we also don't label things like hormones and antibiotics that I just mentioned. We don't label the pesticides and herbicides that have been used on the crops. And, you know, if those kill bugs, they're probably not very good for us either.
Exactly.
And then there are all these things like natural flavorings that could be anything, really. And then there are all these things that they put on food after they're harvested, like even shellac and coatings and chlorine bleach. You know, they use all kinds of things to keep things looking good and keeping well. So there's a lot to worry about. I try to eat organic whenever I can because you're cut way down on all the things that I just mentioned, if not eliminate them entirely.
And you say that beef requires 28 times more land to produce than pork or chicken and 11 times more water, and it results in 5 times more greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, unbelievable.
And the animals do not live a very nice life.
No,
the industrial raised animals.
It's so sad. It just breaks my heart. It really does.
Yeah, but you know, the good part though is that we as individuals can make a big difference by voting with our dollars.
And that's right.
You know, when we buy nice, clean, organic food, we're supporting the growers. We're creating more business, so the price is going to come down, right? The more that's bought because of the volume discount or the economy of scale phenomenon. And you know, we're transitioning to a better way, and it's just really great that we have the options, and people do have the power. At least people who have a decent amount of money. I do feel bad for people who don't have a lot of money because the way the system is set up, organic is more expensive because it's not subsidized the way
right.
industrial food is subsidized. So people on low incomes, their options are limited. So I think people who can afford it should choose organic for their own health and the environment, but also to push things in the direction of clean and green food. You know, Walter Willett of the Harvard School of Public Health.
Sure.
He said...
Yeah, you know Dr. Willett, yeah.
Oh, good. Well, he wrote in this publication I have here, he wrote, "We have a bizarre food system that's off the tracks in terms of both human health and sustainability." So we can bring things back on track, back to more like how people ate before agricultural times. And it's not a trade-off situation because we improve the environment and our health by doing this. And I would say we also improve the economy. You know, chronic disease is going to bankrupt this country. Our health care costs keep going up with all this chronic disease, and a lot of the chronic disease is related to our diet. So,
absolutely. Now, let's talk about seafood for just a moment.
Mm.
It's another big mess we're in, but you would prefer that most people eat wild rather than the farm-raised.
Yeah. You've probably heard some reports of questionable food safety in some of the farm-raised seafood. I've heard of PCBs being detected in farm-raised fish, for example, polychlorinated biphenyls, which are
yes.
nasty contaminants. But people also get more nutrients when they eat wild seafood in general, at least. There are more omega-3s, for example, in wild salmon compared to farm-raised. And it's much better environmentally also to eat wild seafood because you're creating a demand to keep the habitat of those animals preserved so that, you know, we can keep having this food. So that's a benefit. And when we have farm-raised salmon, often, I mean, there's a big range of how well the farm-raised salmon are raised. But in
Absolutely.
Many cases, yeah, in many cases...
Oh, I'm hearing the music. We need
oh,
to run, but
okay.
you have to come back, Ellen, because you're making tremendous sense and giving us great examples of how we can truly help the environment. She regularly contributes to the Huffington Post, and the third book is coming together. It's not out yet, but the best website is ellenmoyerphd.com. And Ellen, this was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Frankie. I'd come back anytime. It was fantastic.
And thank all of you for being with us. This has been another edition of The Frankie Boyer Show. Thanks for listening, everyone. Make it a great day and smile.